Today's Wednesday. A lot of people call it hump day. I call it Wednesday.
Guess what day it is? Live and local with Monica J. On 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me here. And wow, what a day. Day after primary. If you want to see what's going on, you can go onto the Secretary of State's website. I've gotten a couple emails. I'm not going to list off results because, well, they are not 100% certified, and I don't like to throw bad information out there. So if you want to take a wild guess, you can go to the Secretary of State's office because, I mean, some people like Lisa Krasner, of course she won her primary. There is no doubt about that. I mean, when somebody tries to, go up against somebody and they don't even put their picture, they don't even have their picture in the system, that's pretty funny. But we'll get we'll kind of break that down for you tomorrow once it is certified. I like this, though. North Carolina. No guarantees that, you know, we'd be able to have the GOP convention there. Didn't know if we'd be open back up. So Trump said, screw it. We'll go someplace else. So they were looking at states that could accommodate that. They were looking at Nevada, and I said, good luck. We have a Democrat dip governor here, too. There was a blank in there. And so we knew that wouldn't happen. So the new leader now is Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville, Florida. That is the new leader in the search for the new GOP convention location. So I wouldn't mind going to Florida. So let me take a minute here to wax poetically, I guess. Because I want to share something with you. We are just going at each other's throats, Republicans, Democrats. Green New Deal. This is like the new wave of socialism, but they've put it in a different term. Oh, we have a caller on the line. I'll do this in just a second. Terry joining us. Hi, Terry. You want to talk about trade?
Yes. You know, Vaughn, I wanted to say a couple of things. You were talking this morning about, you know, the country adjusting. The only thing we really got to do is go back to the way we were. You know, when I was growing up in the 70s, I bring it up a lot because it was a really good time in my life. I would go into Walmart. And when you walked into Walmart, of all places, and you looked up in the air, there was 100 flags all over because Sam himself was so proud of promoting American product. He was so into that. I said, Mom, what is that? She said, oh, that's Sam Walden. He buys everything in America. He's all about America. Now, his kids kind of, well, they wrecked that. But
yeah,
I think, in my opinion, that this country could get back on its own self in no time. All we got to really do is listen to some of the older people that know how things were put together back in the day and get back to that. There's nothing China can do for us that we can't do for ourselves in a hurry.
Exactly.
And that's my little piece. I wanted to go with you on that because it's just so true.
Terry, then I urge you to stick by your radio and check this out because that is exactly where I am going with my next little thing here. So, Terry, thank you so much for the call. And just give a listen and give a thought, okay? And think about the OACs out there or AOCs and all those, the Greta Thunbergs who are calling us terrorists and that we're destroying the earth, basically because they want money. That's all it is they want your money. And they want to be in control. Because let me take you back a few steps. Woman checking out at a grocery store. The young cashier suggested that the older woman that she should bring her own grocery bags because plastic bags weren't good for the environment. The woman apologized and explained, "We didn't have this green thing in my earlier days." The clerk responded, "That's our problem today. Your generation didn't care enough to save our environment for future generations." She was right. Our generation, Terry and I's generation, did have the green thing in its day. We didn't have that thing. Because back then, we returned milk bottles, soda bottles, and beer bottles to the store. The store sent them back to the plant to be washed and sterilized and refilled. So it could use them again, the same bottles, over and over. That nice thick glass. So they really were recycled. But we didn't have the green thing back in our day. We walked upstairs because we didn't have an escalator in every store and every office building. We walked to the grocery store, and we didn't climb into a 300-horsepower machine every day. We had to go two blocks. But she was right. We didn't have the green thing in our day. Back then, we washed the diapers of babies because we didn't have the throwaway kind. We dried clothes on a line, not in an energy-gobbling machine burning up 220 volts. Wind and solar power really did dry our clothes back in the early days. Kids got hand-me-down clothes from their brothers and sisters. Not always brand new clothing. But that young lady is right. We didn't have the green thing back in our day. Back then, we had one TV or radio in the house. Not a TV in every room. And the TV had a small screen the size of a handkerchief. Remember that? Not a screen that's the size of Montana now. In the kitchen, we blended and stirred by hand because we didn't have electric machines to do everything for us. When we packaged a fragile item to send it in the mail, we used wadded up old newspapers to cushion it. Not styrofoam, not plastic bubble wrap. Back then, we didn't fire up an engine and burn gasoline just to cut the lawn. We used the push mower that ran on human power. We exercised by working, so we didn't need to go to a health club and run on treadmills that operate on electricity. But she's right. We didn't have the green thing back then. We drank from a fountain when we were thirsty instead of using a cup or a plastic bottle every time we had to have a drink of water. We refilled writing pens with ink instead of buying a new pen. And we replaced razor blades in a razor instead of throwing away the whole razor just because the blade got dull. But we didn't have that green thing back then. Back then, people took the streetcar or a bus, and kids rode their bikes to school or walked instead of turning their moms into a 24-hour taxi service. We had one electrical outlet in a room, not an entire bank of sockets to power a dozen appliances. And we didn't need a computerized gadget to receive a signal beamed from satellites 2,000 miles out in space in order to find the nearest pizza joint. But isn't it sad that the current generation laments how wasteful we folks were, just because we didn't have the green thing back then? Are we selfish? Little conservatism there for all of these know-it-all green environmentalists, new generation that want to fundamentally change the way this country works. The earth has been here for a long time. We are just fleas. She has good times. She has bad times. We do not affect it as much as people will try to make you believe. And for all these people who are trying to regulate us, who are telling us how we can and can't live our lives, what we can and can't do, what we can and can't drive, you might want to give them a history lesson that all this convenience that they're enjoying, that wasn't the way that we were raised. We're just going along with all this stuff because, well, all of those other things have been taken away from us. Why don't we start bringing some of those things back? Why don't we start bringing glass milk bottles back and soda bottles that can be reused, washed out, sterilized, sanitized, not just broken down and smashed and then rebuilt into other things? Why don't we look at China and say, why do we need all this plastic stuff? I would rather purchase something in America for a little bit more that I know will last. You know what the problem with this country is? We are too dependent on convenience. Now we're being forced to stay in our homes. We have third-party groups handling our food. So not only does it go from the cook to the packager to the deliverer, people you don't know, if you can't make your own food, then at least go pick it up yourself. We've become lazy. And whose fault is that? We'll be back after this with more of your emails and talk and text at 884-9910 right here on The Monica Jay Show, your live and local FM talk show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM talk.
Is FM talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM talk. We're going to have to take that song out of our rotation. I'm getting really, really sick of that. I know you probably are too. Quick email here for you. This is coming from Chris. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to send this in. I completely agree with China doing this on purpose. One of the topics in the last hour. I always felt that China was irritated that they have to deal with Trump on trade talks. They've been given such a sweet deal for so many decades. That was me, actually. We also are dependent on them for our day-to-day supplies. The timing is incredible that the virus was released and the city of Wuhan was shut down. I'm not sure if China wanted to release this to the world, but just shutting down Wuhan and their factories would create a disruption in U.S. products. A way to show Trump and the rest of us that we need China. Do not place tariffs because it will ultimately affect the U.S. supply chain. China found some way of isolating the virus to not only one city. Amazing, with a population of 1.2 billion, the virus got out of control and affected the world and all supply chains. Not sure if they intended that because it really hurts China in the long term. Yes and no, it hurts China, only the people of China. It doesn't hurt the upper echelon. They'll never be hurt. It's communist China. It's the way that they have their system established. And yes, they did control the virus. If it wasn't controlled, tell me, explain to me how China's major financial districts, Beijing, other places, weren't affected by it. Viruses don't work that way. Hello? With everything that's going on, it is hopefully opening your eyes as to what we need to have better control over. We do not need to be a part of the WHO, the World Health Organization, and we need to get better control over the CDC. Some of the things they're studying are so outrageous that it has no basis in life and the future of what we do. Why are they studying this stuff? Because they have the money to do it. And that's why they were so unprepared for this. Even though Bill Gates said it was going to happen, even though Fauci years ago said it was going to happen. When you know something's going to happen, when Dr. Fauci says a surprise virus is going to hit the Trump administration, it's not a surprise. Just saying. If this were about a virus, if this were about the death of a black man who was murdered by someone kneeling on their neck, no guns involved, kneeling on their neck, triggering all this, then why is the family of George Floyd calling upon the United Nations, the UN, to disarm American police officers and American citizens? Where did all the money come from that George Floyd is busted for passing fake 20s for three services and a gold casket being trotted around the city by a horse and carriage? McCain didn't even get this kind of treatment. I mean, this is up there with presidents. And by the way, if you want to know who paid for those, it was Floyd Mayweather. Just putting it out there for all you boxing fans. I know he's retired, but all that money he made off of you buying those pay-per-view programs, well, that's what it went for. 884-9910, that's our talk and text line. Let's go to Derek this morning. Hi, Derek.
Hello. If everybody would look out the window at the sky and then question, what are they spraying on us?
Boy, there are a lot of contrails out there today.
Yeah, is this thing on? Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Pardon? Okay. They haven't done this in a while, but that is not contrails. That is chemtrails. Excuse me. Call Vance. Tell him. Wake up.
Well, I just call it a contrail because it's just it's a con job of what they're, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's aluminum, barium, strontium, and other things that they're spraying on us. And my gut tells me that this George Floyd thing was not real. It's all put on. They didn't have an open casket. I doubt if he's in that casket. This was all put up to cause all these problems by the communists.
So you think it's a false flag event? Which,
yeah,
people need to find out. Yeah. So these are just a few of the things that you should actually look up for yourself. False flag event. There's also another term that you might not be familiar with that I would like you to educate yourself on. Okay? I mean, you can go watch the movie Wag the Dog, but Cloward Piven strategy, just to give you a little thing here, it is a political strategy outlined back in 1966 by an American sociologist and political activist. It's what it basically is it calls for the overloading of the U.S. public welfare system in order to precipitate a crisis that would lead to a replacement of the welfare system with a guaranteed annual income and thus an end to poverty. Huh. Sounds a lot like what the Democrats are trying to do with that guaranteed income for everybody. Did you ever think that movies like The Purge and all these other that we've been watching over the years would actually come to fruition? Were they really movies or just plans being put in motion to make us comfortable with all this? Are you comfortable? Because I sure the heck isn't or aren't. Isn't. Where'd that come from? My unique look at life. We'll be back after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
And of course, go to 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question. Love to have you be a part of that. Is this just a distraction? I mean, seriously. All this BS about defunding police departments. It's distracting us from bigger issues. So there you go. Log on it. 991fmtalk.com. Yesterday's poll question, do you believe that there's systemic racism in America? I mean, do you truly believe that? 14% of people said yes. 86% said no. And I think that that's the way it stands. The numbers just aren't out there. But the left believes that if they keep telling you something, if they keep pounding it into you, that you'll believe it. It's just not true. We are not racist. All right. Usually I say let's go to the phone lines, but no. Let's get into something more interesting, like Douglas and Lyon County elections. Because I know that my boss, Mr. Jerry Evans, will definitely have something to say about PK O'Neill winning the primary. I mean, seriously?
Well,
Let
me give you a proper introduction, which is instead of let's go to the phone lines, let's go to the microphony or the phony at the mic.
I would never call you a phony.
PK O'Neill. Jeez. I've been getting texts this morning saying, how in the world does he win? I have no idea. And I'm apparently completely out of touch with, I think I'm out of touch with the Republican Party in Nevada, frankly.
No, I think they're the ones out of touch.
Well, yeah. Perhaps, but obviously, I kind of go back to that Reagan thing of, you know, I didn't leave the Republican or the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me, and that's how I feel about the Republican Party in the state of Nevada, especially. Is it California influence? I don't know. Remember Bill Raggio and how liberal he was, and that goes back some years. Some people may not know who that is, especially all of you new transplants to the state of Nevada. But, PK O'Neill won that race by about 1,000 votes. I don't know. Like I said, I'm out of touch with a whole lot of what goes on. And it also depends on the candidate, too. I mean, few surprises and not many, I guess, is how I'd sum up the election. I do want to cover some of Douglas County, though, and Lyon County as well. And Douglas County, a really tight race. Only 30 votes right now separate Danny Tarkanian and Dave Nelson. I'm really surprised by that. But if, and again, that's not final. A couple of people running, though, new to running for office. Mark Gardner beat the incumbent, Larry Walsh, or has beaten so far, 60% to 40%. So he'll most likely keep that lead or some semblance of it and take that seat. And then an open seat between Walt Nowosad and Nathan Tolbert. It looks like Nowosad, also a newcomer to running for office. He's ahead by about 5%, so he'll probably win that. Lyon County, boy, that's one race which is kind of interesting to look at, the three seats for county commissioner down there. Each of the winners won with 60% or more of the vote. Ken Gray, 68%, Robert Jacobson, 68%, and David Hockaday at 60%. Against their opponents there. I had a good friend running in that race. I didn't know much about it, but Gary Gladwell, really good guy, but he was running against a better-known candidate, Ken Gray. And so, yeah, that's kind of interesting. And, here's one thing completely out of the state, but I heard this on Sebastian Gorka's show the other night, is that in Pennsylvania in the primary, Bernie Sanders still got 20% of the vote, even though he's out of the race in the Democrat primary. Biden got 80%. And you combine both of their votes, all of their votes, and Trump still did about a 2-to-1 on that in the Pennsylvania primary. So,
But you won't hear that in the blame stream media.
Oh,
that,
of course not. Of course.
Yeah. That they're still saying Biden is a, you know, if the election were held today, Biden would win by a long shot.
Yeah, but I kind of remember that last election cycle with one particular and peculiar Hillary Clinton, the winner of that race, called by just about everybody until election night. That was one.
And then then the crying started.
Yeah, that was something. And I stayed up for that, I think, around 1:30, 1:45 a.m. is when they finally call it in the West Coast. And that was meltdown, media meltdown from that point on. But anyway,
yeah, I liked watching the progression of the media meltdown. You know, well, she could get this state and this state. I mean, just the whole progression all the way down is just, it was fantastic to watch. But, you know, Jerry, you were talking about P.K. O'Neill and history. You know, Jill Dickman.
That's
won
right.
The primary to go back in. And that was over Sandler Nares, which a newcomer. And I really thought that the numbers would be different on that as well. So, you know, Washoe County still has its questions. And where I feel, you know, kind of left behind and very disheartened is the fact that every single day I get 5 to 6 emails from Republicans, just because I have, you know, that many emails out there. But all they're doing is asking for money, 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 money. Yet nobody's telling us why we're going to have a virtual state convention and why the leadership isn't fighting back.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing, too. Lisa Krasner, you saw she got about 80% of the vote as well. But one thing that we'll stay on and keep up the thing is we got to get away from this mail-in ballots and have a normal, as normal as elections can be, come November. And
well, it's not going to be there, Jerry. I hate to tell you, but even with the lawsuits, and they are going to keep us shut down, and with all of the horror stories that people do not believe, that with this blanket of, you know, just sending mail-in ballots out to registered voters' last addresses and stuff, and they're finding them in trash cans, they're finding them in hallways, they're standing in line to vote for 5 hours. Do you really think people are going to do that? And that's what the Democrats are hoping for.
Yeah. And one thing that we must point out the truth, which is that the reason why Democrats are in charge of this state is because of what Republicans did when they got power.
They didn't do anything.
Well, in fact, they did. They did some of the worst things you could possibly do, like raise taxes higher than any than in the history of the state. They got power. Every state office the Senate and the Democrats, and what did they do? They raised taxes higher than any other time in the history of the state. So when you get in office and you act like Democrats and you not act like, you govern like Democrats, well, you know, who's going to go out and vote for you?
Then explain to me how P.K. O'Neill got back in there.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, that could be a seat that turns over to a Democrat. I have no idea. I don't even know who the Democrat is, but I have no idea. I mean, I can't imagine. Well, again, I'm out of touch. I'm conservative more than I am a Republican. And I cannot see how a Republican could even hold their nose and go in and vote for P.K. O'Neill. So maybe that's a seat that turns. I don't know. But you have nobody to blame but ourselves, and in particular in the Republican Party in Nevada, led by Bernie Sandoval. That's why Sisolak is in office. And yep. And again, I'm beating a dead horse here. I realize that. But when you're Adam Laxalt and you are sitting there on the lap of Michael Roberson, endorsing him over and over and over again, and saying, you know, this is the guy that's got to be. That's why. And there's some personality issues there, too. You know, again, just anecdotal stories of him showing up at places where people set up the auditorium or whatever and do all the chairs, and he walks right by them, and, you know, he'll thank one or two people, but forgets the people that are doing all this volunteer work for him. That's just anecdotal. I can't prove that, but there's a little bit of a personality issue there too. And again, I still think if you govern like a Democrat, then people are probably saying, I'm going to stay home, or, well, I might as well vote for the Democrat. Who knows? Yeah. But
no, I think it's they'll just stay home and not vote.
Yeah, probably so. Hopefully that's not the case this time. Hopefully there are some good candidates, and hopefully the Republican Party will learn a lesson, although, you know the old saying, I can stand the despair. It's the hope that's killing me.
Yes, indeed. All right. Jerry Evans, Evans Broadcast Company, thank you so much for joining me today on the Monica Jay Show. But I, you know, I have to thank you for that. And I tell you, a lot of listeners do, to keep it live and local. And that's what we do here. All right, now my train of thought is busted because I'm looking at all these candidates, and congratulations to Robin Titus as well. She was the incumbent over Jeff Ulrich. We had Jeff on the show not too long ago, and boy, did he have some great ideas and things to say. Going down south, I do have to say in the primary winning Andy Matthews. I am very hopeful. Andy Matthews used to be with NPRI, the Nevada Research Policy Research Institute, and I tell you, I've known him for a number of years, so I'm really glad to see that he won his primary and will hopefully take on and turn a Democrat seat Republican down south. So I would like to see that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we will be back on your live and local FM talk show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Talk and text lines 884-9910. Let's check in with Kurt as we wrap up the program today. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I just wanted to say thank you to a lot of people. Thank you to the voters for, getting me some votes out there. I appreciate. Thank you for the time on the radio. Thank the newspaper. Thank my wife. Learned a whole lot by running for office.
And you're going to run again, too, right?
I wouldn't rule it out. I just don't, you know, see anything right now. Obviously, I can't do the Ward 5 for at least 4 years. But you know, there are other things I could look at. You know, like I said, I learned so much from this process that, you know, the virus threw a curve, because I'm a person that likes to go out and meet people and mm-hmm. like you, hug them or give handshakes, and that totally stopped that, you know, just as I was getting started on that. But I'm not going to use that as an excuse.
Well, I would. I'm petty that way because this is, it's like I've said before, Kurt, it's not about a virus. It's not about racism. It's not about all this other BS that they're throwing at us. It's about an election, and it's about Democrats trying to retain power whichever way they can. And I'm sorry, but I want to make sure that there was no election fraud. So I'll wait for a couple of days until I'm completely satisfied with the results. But Kurt, please run again at some point, because and be a part of what's going on in the community, because that's what we need.
Yeah.
We need more people involved. So Kurt, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
And thanks for being a part of everything, because let me tell you this. If the people are capable of understanding, seeing, and feeling the differences between true and false, right and wrong, virtue and vice, to what better principle can the friends of mankind apply than to make the sense of this difference? John Adams, back in 1775. Our founding fathers, the men who fought and died, and the families who lived on to carry on, they knew what they were doing. They knew why they wrote the Bill of Rights, why they wrote the words that they did, why we have the Constitution. This is from Thomas Sowell. Love to have you look him up. That's actually Thomas S-O-W-E-L-L. Now, I know this is the radio, so I do need to point out to you, this is a black gentleman. Racism is not dead, but it is on life support. Kept alive by politicians, race hustlers, and people who get a sense of superiority by denouncing others as racists. And who does that? Black Lives Matter. Antifa. The Democrat Party. Al Sharpton. Look at all the people who took advantage of the death of a man at the hands of another. A man who he knew. Interesting, all this information coming out. Look at all the people that had to be in the spotlight. Do you think Al Sharpton would have ever have been a part of his service if this didn't happen? If George Floyd died at the hands of a black man, a shooting in Chicago? Biggest shooting weekend this last weekend in Chicago. But you don't see anything, you don't hear anything on that, because that doesn't fit the narrative of telling you over and over and over again that you are racist and you are raising racist children if you do not put a black square on your social media, if you do not get on your knees. Please do not ever do that. And if you do that in front of me, I will walk away from you and distance myself from you as much as I can. Because there is only one entity you should ever kneel before. And that is the entity that judges you in the end. Do you think he's going to be happy that he gave you free will and he gave you a mind to use and that you just threw it away and followed a crowd? Be independent. Be a free thinker. If you don't think for yourself, you're just going to fall into the trap that the Democrats are setting for you. And since our education system denounces even at time, punishes free thinking, free thought. I would have serious doubts of the education that they're getting right now. So you need to teach your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, and your nephews that it's okay for them to have opinions. It's okay for them to take a stand. It's not okay to get violent. And it is okay to report people that do. I hope you've taken away something positive from the show today. I appreciate every moment of your time that you spend with me. Log on to 991fmtalk.com. Something I will be posting a little bit later on this afternoon once I get the list all together are groups that are being funded by a hate mongerer as George Soros and his Open Societies Foundations, his different PACs, to bring hate into our community, to bring divisiveness into our community, like the Sunshine Movement. Action. Catch you tomorrow on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Love you.